This thing is making some noise here. Give me why. I'm having some feedback. Really don't know why there's feedback. Give me one moment. It's annoying. It's annoying, this noise. Strange. Here it is. Okay. Okay, now it should be better. Halichais oilam loy. The ways of the world are to Hashem. Okay, I'm just curious. Everyone can hear me? Can you hear me well? Is it clear? Is the sound clear? Mr. Weiss.
Is
this... Okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, good. Good. Halichais oilam loy. So over here I put on the screen the Maamar Chazal. Tanya de'Elio.
Kol Hashem. Yes, it is clear.
Okay, thank you. Tanya de'Elio. Kol Hashem alachas b'chol yoyim. Anyone who learns kol hashon halachas. Now here does not say the word, does not say b'chol yoyim. It says here kol hashon halachas muftach lo shu ben olam habosh. Nemar halichos oylam loy. Al tikrei halichos ella halachos. This is a famous chazal. Even though the pshuta shel mikra means that the subject of the pasuk is Hashem, loy refers to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The way halichos means the ways of the world, the ways, the hanhaga, teva, nature, and hashkocha lemala miderech hateva. Halichos oilam, the mysteries of the world and how the world conducts itself, how the world exists, the world operates. The halichos oilam loy are to Hashem. Hashem, it's Hashem's plan. It is Hashem's hashkocha. Kiloi machshavoy sai machshavoy seichem velo darkechem dirochoy. The thoughts of Hashem are not the thoughts of man. The ways of Hashem are not the ways of man. We will never fully comprehend Hashem's hanhaga. And that's what this pasuk makes, says very clearly. This is a very basic pasuk in Emunah. Don't think you understand. Humble yourself before Hashem. We'll never understand why there's something, a principle called tzaddik, veraloi, rasha, v'toivloi. We'll never understand why there was a Holocaust. We'll never understand why there was a virus called corona, COVID-19. We'll never understand these things. These are the ways of Hashem. Halichos oilam loy. They are to Hashem. It's a critical pasuk in our emunah, in what Yadus is all about. However, there's a Maamar Chazal, Kedarkoi, that takes words and plays with it and gives us other meanings. And here is this example. Don't read the word halichos, change the vowels, and halochos. Al tikri halichos ella halochos. Now, how could you do that? There is a yud in the pasuk. There's a yud. There's no way you can vowelize the word halichos to halochos if there is a yud in the pasuk. And this leaves us with no choice other than to say that according to the Gemara Masechta Megillah, there's no yud in the word halichos. How do you like that? There's no other way to understand this. You would expect on the page, you look at the Michashai, the Michashai would tell us indeed there's another girsa, and there's another way of reading the pasuk, which the pasuk should be read, without the yud. But guess what? There is no other girsa. There's Michashai over here silent. He doesn't reveal to us any other girsa that allows us to change it from halicha, without a yud. It's a mystery. It's a mystery for the Gemara to say this when there is a yud in our pasuk, but yet that obviously the Gemara has had a different girsa. There is no yud, and that allows us to read the word halachos. And what does it mean, kama? If a person toils every day, in this particular brisa, it does not say b'chol yoyim. When we say in davening this nusach, we're quoting from a different source where there it says kol hashoyne halachos. Bechol yoim, muftach loyshu ben oilam haba. This memra in Masechta Megillah and Masechta Nida does not say the word bechol yoim. It just says generally a person who learns halacha every single day, oilam loy. The subject of lo is a regular, ordinary person, he is guaranteed that he is a ben olam haba. Olam here means the next world. Next chazal, Tana, hatanoim, a Tana over here in the brackets, they have a perush, it means sheshaynim mishnayis ve'inim lomdim talmud. The word tanoim in this context is not like we use it in reference to the tanoim of the mishnayis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi HaNasi. It's not what it means over here in this context. In this context, Tanoim means a person who just reads Mishnayis without understanding the reason behind the Mishnah, which means he does not learn the Mefarshim on the Mishnayis or does not learn the Gemara. If you learn Mishnayis with the Parish of Rav, that we have over here, we're very fortunate to have here in our group, in the Kollel, one person here who's a Baki Mufluk in Mishnayis, Mr. Weiss, Mr. Chaim Weiss, for decades has been diligently...
Nothing like that at all. I just learned Mishnayis.
That's right. So who here learns Mishnayis? Who here learns Mishnayis? You go through Mishnayis. How many Mishnayis do you do a day? How many Mishnayis? A perek?
Two
perakim.
Two Mishnayis.
Two Mishnayis a day. And how long did it take you to take the whole Shishu Sidre Mishnah?
Two Mishnayis. Today was Krisis. Perakim, Mishnah, Beis, and Gimel.
Ashrecha. So how many times have you gone to Shas? How many times?
5.6 years we finished.
How many?
5.6 years.
Two Mishnayis a day, and every time you learn the Mishnah, you learn the Rav. You learn the Rav, or if you learn the more modern Perushim, the Kahati.
Yeah, whatever the Rav.
It brings already down all of the Gemaras. It already compiled for you all of the reasons that are presented in the Gemara, and that's not what this we are referring to here. A Tana here means a person who just memorizes the Mishnayis and does not know the meaning of the words. I remember as a child, there was a story going around. It's a very embarrassing story where there was a child. Obviously, the child was a genius. He was able to memorize enormous amounts of Mishnayis, and he was brought to a very big Rosh Shiva, Talmud Chacham, to be tested. And the Rosh Shiva tested him, and he asked him to Mishnah this Masechta, Mishnah that Masechta, and the child, it just flowed off his lips, his tongue, the Mishnayis. But the Rosh Hashiva was suspicious that the child, although he was a genius, photographic memory, he had no clue as to what he was saying. So he asked him, you're learning Masechta Me'ila, okay, a Masechta in Seder Kodoshim, tell me, what is the Masechta about? And the child said, a baby, 8 days old, has a bris mila. That was a horrible embarrassment. It's a different word. Mi'ila is with an ayin. Mi'ila means a person transgresses. He derives benefit from the property of the Beis Hamikdash. It has absolutely nothing to do with an 8-year-old baby who undergoes circumcision. And it was a very big embarrassment for the Rebbeim that this child, although he was a genius, a photographic memory, and memorized the Mishnayis, had absolutely no clue to what he was learning. That is what this Gemara means, a Tana, a Tana'im, a person who memorizes Mishnayis, reads the Mishnah, maybe is able to translate the basic translation, but really has no understanding of the depth of the Mishnah. So it says, Mivalei Olam. These people are destroyers of the world. That's a pretty extreme thing to say. Amar Rebbe Yeshua v'chi mevalei olam hein. How could you say such a thing? V'haloi mi yashvei olam hein. They are people who establish the world. Shenemar halichois olam lo. Now, immediately in this Maimon Chazal, we learn a third translation for the word halichois. Al tikri halichois ela halachois. And here halacha means Mishnah. We like to, in the modern world, we translate halacha means the bottom line. It means the law. What is the law? What is the halacha? But in the Gemara, the word the Mishnayos are also in essence halachos. There are halachos, however, which are not fully developed. They're raw. They're just very basic rules. But yet, that's how this Chazal understands the word halacha, sections of Mishnayos, and it says halichos, a person who studies Mishnah, which presents halacha, oylam loy, will merit that he will receive oylam haba. So how can you say that these people are evil? They are people who destroy the world. Ella, the Gemara explains, shemoyrin halacha mitoich mishnasan, and in the brackets it adds shelo yedu es ta'amehen. Exactly, it's exactly the point. They may know the Mishnayos inside out, and they may want to render a halachic decision based upon what it says, what they memorize, but unless you fully comprehend the logic, the depth of the reason, it's very likely they will be making an error. They're not going to extrapolate from what it says in the Mishnah to a practical question in life. In order to fully be a halachic authority, you have to know the reasons behind the Mishnah. You know, in the Gemara, every so often in the Gemara tells you the Hilchasa ke like this man da amar. You learn a couple of daf. Every couple of daf, you guarantee to come in contact with a statement of the Gemara that tells you this is the halacha. This is the bottom line. If you will then go to Shulchan Aruch, you will discover, I cannot give you the statistics because I do not know, but I think it's fair to say that it probably 80% of the time when the Gemara tells you that this is the halacha, there is a disagreement, and we decide in favor of this opinion, when you look in Shulchan Aruch, you will discover that, practically speaking today, in the secular year 2020, we don't follow that opinion. It's very bizarre that whenever the Gemara says the Hilchasa, this is the halacha, you can almost bet that halacha lemaisa, we don't follow that particular halacha. Why is that so? I don't know, but that's how it always comes out. So you have to know the depth of the reason in order to understand. In the next chazal, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, we have machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hanavim Bakasuvim Asidim Libotel. This is a very powerful chazal. Rabbi Yochanan says that all of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, they're going to become bottle. The Chamesha Sifrei Torah Einam Asidim Libotel. My Taima Kol Godol Vilo Yosaf. So Rabbi Yochanan is not going to be invited to our Siyam. Because Rabbi Yochanan says that the book that we are reading, Sefer Habakkuk, all of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, they will be batel. They will cease to exist. If you want to take that at face value, to take that literally, it means that we're going to take these books and we're going to put them in Shemus. We're going to bury them when Mashiach will come because they will be completely obsolete. The only thing that will not be obsolete is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Okay, let's go further. Reish Lakish says that why is Chamisha Chumshei Torah different? So this is very powerful pasuk. Kol Godol Velo Yosaf. It says concerning Chamisha Chumshei Torah, it's a Kol Godol that never ceases to exist. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omar, Af Megillas Esther, he also agrees, but there are other exceptions. Megillas Esther, the halachos einan asidin libatel, and what are the halachos? What are the halachos? So halachos would appear to be, I would assume to be Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are not going to become bottle. It's not really so clear what this means. Shneimar Kan, it says, how do you know by Megillas Esther is different? Shneimar Kan Kol Gadol v'lo Yosaf. V'nema lahalan v'zichram, the remembrance of Megillas Esther, lo yosuf mizaram, will never cease to exist from their seed. Okay, referring to Megillas Esther and Mordechai v'Esther, Megillas Esther will never become bottle. We make gzereshava, kol gadol v'lo yosaf, halachois, with regard to halachois, which I'm assuming it means here Mishnayos,
Oilam loy, a new interpretation. Oilam means le'oilam vo'et. Loy, the subject of loy, goes back on the halacha. The halachos, which is the law, oilam, will continue to endure, exist forever.
Okay, so the bottom line, though, but what is, this is the Yerushalmi, Misach the Megillah, so what is the common denominator? What is the common denominator between these two Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim will cease to exist? Can that really be, Rabbi Yossi, can that really be true? Can it really be that when Mashiach will come, we're going to take all of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim and put them in Shemus? Can that really be? So many of the commentators say that that's not, don't take it literally. That's not what it means. What it means is that, I'm trying to present one of many interpretations. When we learn that at this moment in time, when we learn now a Pasuk in Navi, we don't really know what we're reading. We don't really fully comprehend the depth of what the Pasuk means. Why not? Because the event to which the Pasuk is referring to has not yet happened. Now, when the Navi said this Pasuk, the Navi said the Pasuk for his generation. Now, in his lifetime, certainly the people who were listening, they fully comprehended what he said. And maybe, let's say it was a prophecy, what will happen, shortly thereafter, it came true. But the fact that these psukim have been preserved for posterity means that there are multiple layers of interpretation of these psukim, and what these psukim are predicting have a different meaning in every generation. It had one meaning in the generation of the Navi, had a different meaning in the next generation, another meaning in the next generation, going further. And even here we are today, 2,000 plus years since many of these psukim were said, some more close to almost 3,000 years from when these psukim were actually said. In our generation, we are reading these psukim and we are deriving new insight. How could he possibly know 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, what's going to happen today? Because there are so many psukim in the Nevi'im that when we read them, he's talking to us. It's clear as day. He's talking about things that only we can fully comprehend, and it makes perfect sense that he's discussing our generation with our unique circumstances and situations. And that's exactly the point. However, when Mashiach will come and Hashem's divine presence will be revealed, then every single possible interpretation of the Pasuk will have been fulfilled. Because the Nevi'im did not state their words in reference to the time after Mashiach comes. The words of prophecy that they saw, the vision that they saw, was only a vision up to and including Yemos HaMashiach. It was not including what happens after. Pasuk, Ayin lo ra'asa zulo secha. No one saw that era. So the words of prophecy that came forth from the Nevi'im could not possibly have a meaning be interpreted in reference to what happens after Mashiach comes. Now that does not mean that when Mashiach comes, we're going to take the books, they're no longer relevant, we're going to put them in Shemus. No, of course not. Because the lessons of the past, at that point in time, it will be lessons of the past. And those lessons are relevant forever. Just because an event has happened, like the first thing they teach you when you take a course in history, whether even in elementary school,
Every elementary school teacher will ask their students, they'll ask this question in elementary school, in high school, in college, and even if you go for a PhD, the question is, why bother to study history? Who cares? Who cares what happened in the past? Who cares? Masha hoya, kivar hoya. And the answer is, history repeats itself. When you study the past, you gain insight, understanding to Hashem's ways, understanding man, how man operates. You understand the human condition, and that gives you a great advantage going forward. But there's nothing in history, in secular history, that's prophetic, will tell you what's going to be in the future. It's events that have occurred. We can study, analyze, discern, extract principles, ideas, which we can use to our advantage when we go forward into the future. But it's not prophecy. When it comes to a prophet, even though all of his words were not just for his generation, it was for the future, in reference to events that have not yet happened, when Mashiach will come, it will be over. All of those events that they were alluding to will have been fulfilled. But we're not going to throw away the Nevi'im. Now, the study of Nevi'im will be even greater. Because now, instead of having only one interpretation, we'll be able to look back in history and have 1,000 interpretations. We'll be able to understand the depth of the Pasuk in every single generation, in the entire history of the world. But it's still in the terminology of Chazal called Botel, because there is no new interpretation going forward. All of the possibilities, all of the depth will come to an end, because the Navi did not see the time after the coming of Mashiach. That's what it means, Botel. There's one exception. And one exception is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Even after the coming of Mashiach, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosaf will be able to extract and to glean new depth in Chamishei Chumshei Torah that can only be appreciated in the era, in the Tkufa, in that time period of after Mashiach comes, because that is the infinite nature of the Torah, which is purely divine, and it's relevant even for new understanding in the times of Mashiach. So when it says that it's bottle, it doesn't mean goodbye, and you know, it means it has been fully fulfilled. The understanding has been fully fulfilled, and that allows us to study it. It takes a lifetime to study any one sefer, and to take the lessons and go forward with its lessons into the future. That's all it means when it says that it's bottle. It's still going to be extremely relevant. But there's no new interpretation. Chamisha Chumshei Torah will always be able to extract and to derive new teachings from the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Okay, and then the other exception is Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, according to Reish Lakish, even that will not be bottled. Even that will be new insight after Mashiach comes into appreciating the prophetic nature of Megillas Esther. Okay, that concludes this Maamar Chazal. Okay, now let us take a look. Once we have it on the same page, let me see if I... Yes, yes.
How does that interpretation square with the Chazal that says in the future all the Yom and Tovim will be canceled, same term, except for Purim and Yom Kippurim?
It's the same idea. What does it mean? What does it mean that La'asalavai, all of the Mu'adim are going to be bottled? Okay, that's also subject to a discussion. Does it really mean that there's nothing, that it's going to be a work day? it's going to be a Shavuos will be a work day, can't possibly mean that. What it means, it means something along the lines of what it says about the Nevi'im. It means.
I thought it meant it would be overshadowed.
Okay, that's one interpretation, but that's too simplistic. To say that it's bottle means it's bottle bereif. It's overshadowed, but it's still there. It's just an ingredient. Yes, that's definitely true, but it's too simplistic to say something like that. It means something along the lines like we just said now. Each one of the Moadim is evolving. When we talk about, we have Yitzias Mitzrayim. Is Yitzias Mitzrayim over? It was a one-time event. Hashem took us out of Egypt, and that we have matzah, and we celebrate the mitzvah of Pesach, and that's it. That's it. No, it's not it. Every single year, if we were able to analyze, to delve deep into our existence in this world, we can appreciate that this year, Pesach, was another, there was another dimension in Yitzias Mitzrayim that was new. All of the factors, all of the ideas that are expressed in the Torah with the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, maybe the Yam didn't split in the miraculous way this year, but if we were able, we would be able to see that in this past year, the Yam split for Klal Yisrael again in a symbolic way. It may be very subtle, and it may be very, very difficult to fully comprehend, but we have emuna that it happened. It happened at least in our minds, it happened at least in the world to a degree. The Moadim continue to evolve. It wasn't a one-time event. Matan Torah, every single year is a new Matan Torah. When Mashiach will arrive, that's it. Every possible dimension of the Moadim has been fulfilled. Throughout Golis, throughout 3,000 years, it's it. Every single possible dimension in our history has been fulfilled. It doesn't mean we're not going to observe it. We're going to observe it as a commemoration, but not as a present, ongoing event. It will be purely a commemoration, and there is a lot to gain from commemorating past events. There is, in fact, an infinite amount of benefit to gain from commemorating past events. But it's not any longer in a state of evolving. However, there's going to be another Moed that we're going to celebrate. That's going to be the Moed of the Geula. Tisha B'Av will turn into a Moed. I think it's the same idea. You're making a very good parallel by comparing the Moadim to the Sifrei Nevi'im. But both of them doesn't say this expression, they're going to be bottled. Right, now we have on the page of the Maral. Okay, Rav Michal is our resident scholar, Maral scholar. So let's see what it says over here, the Maral. The Maral over here on the top of the page says, Halichas lomlo hadavashu halacha einu noite min midas hayosher klal. Maral is abstract. I never, my mind is too small for the Maral. Maral's language is very broad, very abstract. You have to be a Rebbe Chol to really appreciate Maral. The language right away, as soon as I read even one word of the Maral, I right away tune off. Because the Maral is great. And unfortunately, I'm very, very small. It's a broadness. Maral has broad strokes. Big strokes. Rachel, is that correct? Let's see the Maral. I can't hear you. You have to unmute yourself. I can't hear what you say.
Requires practice.
What?
I said it just requires practice.
Practice. Okay. Practice makes perfect. Let's see his words. Hadavar shu halacha eina noita min hamidas hayosher klal. Halacha is a term which means yosha. It means correctness. Halacha means, you know, halacha means to travel, to walk. You're a traveler. You go straight. You're always going along the straight and narrow. Raki hayosher hagomor. It is the perfection of uprightness. Like my davar she'ena halacha, something which is not halacha is ein ze hayosher hagomor. Lekach ena halacha. V'ze amram, ein ze ben oylam haba. Who is called the ben oylam haba? Mi she'shayne halacha she'nemar. Halichos oylam lo, al tikri halichos oylam lo, ela halachos oylam lo. The davar zehu atama she'amarnu, ki b'nei she'halacha hu ha'yosher, she'ena noita min nekudas ha'emes, rak hu ha'yosher ha'gamur. Halacha means the straight and narrow, no deviation, no corruption, no turning from kol asher yom lecha. Even if they tell you the left is right, you stay on the right path. You don't, like we say this ugly term today, no going off the derech. This terminology. Of course, a person does what he's supposed to do. He goes down the road, the straight and narrow. Of course, he will merit olam haba. Rak, you know, the person is not deviating from the kudus or emes. Rak wa yosha gamul rak ein davar zehefsek v'zeremes b'milas halacha. He goes to the place of Yosher where Yirtzel Aleches. Okay, like I always like to tell you, Yosher, Rabbi Sai, is dead. Gone, long gone. There's no Yosher anymore. We said Kaddish on Yosher. Yiskadal v'yiskadash Shemei Rabba. The Rosh Tevois of those four words is Yosher is dead. Okay, let's take a look over here at we did pretty much the Biuri Hagra. No. We're going to go to the next pasuk. We're going to move on now to the next pasuk. Okay, there's really more about Olam Lo, Halichos Olam Lo. I'm surprised they're not on the page over here. I really should have done my homework. There's more things on Halichos Olam Lo. Let me just read with you a Balaturim. All right, there's a teeny little Balaturim here. I want to put it up on the screen. I'm going to put it on the screen, the Balaturim. Okay, the Balaturim says, Halichais Oilam Loi. Bapasik Vayhi bin Sarah bin Saharain, Yud Beis Tevois Kemoshiesh, Bapasik Lukhova Yod Hazaka, Shu Saifa Tiro. Or Pasik Vunuchu Yomar, Yesh by Zayin Tevois, Kemoshiesh, Bapasik Beratius, Shu Techila Satira. Is that interesting? Very fascinating Balaturim. Only the mind of the Balaturim can come up with these things. There are two psukim. Vayhi bin so harad vayom Moshe kum Hashem v'yafut zevecha v'yinusu misenecha v'ponecha. And then we say v'nucho yoymar shuva Hashem rivavoy salfe yishol. There are two psukim. The first pasuk, these two psukim are surrounded by upside down nuns. There are two nuns in the beginning and at the end, two upside down nuns. So the Balaturim says, the first pasuk Vayhi bin Sarah has Yud Beis Tevois. What is the significance? That's the last pasuk in the Torah.
ulechol hayat hachazaka she'asa Moshe l'nei kol l'nei Yisrael. In that pasuk, there are 12 words. There are 12 words corresponding to the 12 words in Vayihi bin Soya. And in the pasuk, the next pasuk in that section of Vayihi bin Soya, okay, that is surrounded by two upside down nuns. And in the next pasuk, or the pasuk of Nuchu Yemar, Yesh by Zayin Tevas, Kemosh Yesh, the pasuk Bereishis, which is Tichilas Torah. Loimar, Shuchoshev Sefer Torah Bifnei Atzmoi. We have a principle that those two psukim that are surrounded by 85, two upside down nuns, which have exactly 85 letters, is Choshev, like a full Sefer Torah. Why? Bala Turim is something so brilliant. Because one pasuk has Yud Beis Tevois and the other pasuk has Zayin Tevois. Happens to be that the beginning of the Torah has 7 and the end of the Torah has 11. So these two psukim, it's like one pasuk referring to the beginning of the Torah and one pasuk referring to the end of the Torah, to the bookends. Okay, the bookends capture the entire Torah. These two psukim capture the essence of the entire Torah. It's unbelievable. And then he can, what does that vart have to do with what we learned over here today? And they, here's what he goes on to say. Maskil with Vayihi avav, Vayihi bin Soyah Arayin, Umesayim belamid, Uvenucho yoymar shuva Hashem rivos alfei Yisrael alamid. So the two letters are Vav and Lamid. Vav and Lamid are the letters of the word Loi. Halich al Shem, Halichois Oilam Loi. The ways of the world are Loi, are in the Torah. So what is the word Loi? Loi means Hashem. Hashem is also in the Torah. And it's teaching us indirectly the entire Torah. The halichos oilam are rooted in the two psukim, Vayihi bin Soya ha'aroin vayoyber Moshe, Kumo Hashem, v'yafutzu oivecha v'yanusu misenechem ponecha. When the Aron traveled, the Aron wiped out our enemies, uvenucho yoymar, and when the Aron came to rest, shuva Hashem rivvois alfei Yisrael. May you restore Hashem, the multitudes of the Jewish people. It's an incredible, this is called the Halichos Olam, the ways of the world. The ways of the world are always defined in terms of motion and a lack of motion. Why is it that the world is in motion? Why is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world where the earth is continuously spinning on its axis? Not only is the earth spinning, the moon is spinning on its axis and is rotating around the earth. And the earth and the moon together, they rotate around the sun. And the sun, scientists tell us, is also in motion. And it can very well be this entire galaxy, the sun and the moon, and the planets and all of their moons, itself is moving, rotating around another center. And that center is probably all part moving around another center. Okay, this is yet to be understood, but I think the scientists, I think they if not mistaken, they've come to acknowledge that it's very likely that the sun, with all the planets itself, is rotating around a greater center. Is anyone familiar with these principles? And then even that can be rotated. Everything, we're just part of like the tip, the end tip.
All our galaxies are in the Milky Way, which is only, there's not only one Milky Way.
And so they're all going in motion. And they're all going in circles. They're all going around one center.
It's all from the Big Bang. They're spreading outward.
And what is the center of everything? What is the center of everything? The Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is in the center. We just see a teeny little picture. The teeny little picture of the earth rotating, a moon rotating around the earth, and the earth with the moon itself rotates around the sun. That's all we see. But the truth is, the whole, the sun with the earth and the moon itself is rotating around another greater body
in the center, which we can't even sense what that is. And then when you'll figure out what that is, that itself is just rotating around something else. We go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Motion. Everything in this world is in motion. That is all rooted in Vayihi bin Soya Ha'arayn. Motion. The whole Torah is captured in these two psukim. And then what does it say then? Uvenucho yoimar. There's a time when it comes to rest. To stop.
There's a wonderful law called Torah in Motion. Dr. Mark Spira. He has tremendous shiurim there that you can go on. But that's the name. Torah in Motion.
Now this idea of coming to stop is something very, very important. I was actually learning this morning, preparing for the shiur today, is when Kriyas Yamsuf took place, that was an event where motion stopped, where the world stood still. The Yam, in this world, the waters, the Yam, is in motion. The seas, the rivers, there is motion. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam stopped. Omat, it stood still. The motion came to an end. When the Yarden split, the waters stood still. When Yehoshua went to battle to conquer the nations of Canaan, Doim, Shemesh Begivoin Doim, the sun stood still. The sun, the motion stopped. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes for Klal Yisrael, it is always expressed in terms of motion temporarily being suspended. And that's what these two psukim capture. Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin. There's a moment when the Aroin is in movement, the world is in movement. And then there comes a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shows his love for Klal Yisrael, Uvenucho Yoimar, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates rest, to stop, the motion stops. Shuvah Hashem, Rivavos Alfei Yisrael. The weekday, there are 6 days. In 6 days, Sheishes Yom Ta'avod V'yosisa Kol Melachtecha. And then there's a time of rest. Shabbos, Shavas, Vayinofash. Everything in creation and every dimension involves two different states. A state of movement and a state of peace. There is Sheishes Yimei Bereishis. This is movement. Shabbos is rest. In the Bria is always in motion, but when Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, Shemesh Begivoin Doim. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Yam was Omad. It stopped. When Klal Yisrael left Egypt, the Gemara of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it stopped. When we crossed the Yarden stopped. That is another critical moment. It's like Shabbos. It's a moment where motion stops. And here, this is what this pasuk is alluding to, Halichos Olam, the ways of the world. The ways of the world which include the motion. The word Halicha means to travel, it means to move. But moving also implies, you know, you move and you stop. The ways of the world are, or maybe you want to say is the oilam. Oilam means to stop. I don't know if you can say that. Okay, halicha is oilam lo, is all alluded to in the lamed vav. Lamed is the last letter of Vayihi bin Soya, and the vav is the first letter. It's out of order, just like the first pasuk, which has yud beis oitzios, corresponds to the last pasuk in the Torah. And the second pasuk, Uvenucho Yomar, has seven words which correspond to the first pasuk in the Torah, which is backwards. So to the two words, Lamed Vav, are backwards. It captures the ways of the world, the motion, and the it's resting. Okay, one last thing to point out, and that is the Lamed Vav. This, I'm very surprised he doesn't quote the Gemara. And the Gemara says that the world exists in the merit of 36 Tzadikim, the Lamed Vav Tzadikim upon which the world stands. Now the truth is there are numerous Mamori Chazal. There's another Chazal that says the world exists in the merit of 30 Tzadikim. And there's another, I don't know, remember all the numbers, there are different numbers of how many tzaddikim the world, how many tzaddikim there are in the world, which keeps the world going. But one of the more popular Ma'amari Chazal is this pasuk, Halichos Olam, the ways of the world, the fact that the world continues to exist, the fact that we're still here today is because of Loi, Lamed Vav. There are 36 tzaddikim in this world. I went to a Levaya, a Shloshim, Aaron Price. This boy had Down syndrome. He had Down syndrome, this boy, and he passed away because of Corona. He got infected with Corona in the very beginning of the season, and he was very, very sick for about 3-4 weeks, and then he passed away. And he was a couple of weeks shy of 36 years old. Someone spoke and said as follows: this boy was born on Yom Yerushalayim. That was his birthday. He was born Chof Ches Iyar. And 8 days after Chof Ches Iyar is, 8 days later is Shavuos. And this boy, if you did not know that, he would make sure you did know. I mean, he had a certain obsession. And he would tell people he was born on Yom Yerushalayim, and his bris milah was on Shavuos 8 days later. This boy died a couple of weeks before. He died on Yom HaZikaron. He died on the day before Atzmaut. He died on the day before, Dalet Iyar. Right? He died on Dalet Iyar. Okay, he died the day before Atzmaut, which meant that his Shloshim took place, 30 days later. He died on Dalet, and the month was Choser. His Shloshim concluded on Erev Shavuos. It was the month was Choser, 29 days. Sivan. His Shloshim was on the 30th, on the 5th day of Sivan, Erev Shavuos. So the person said that the avelus for a person is 30 days. Okay, for a parent, a child has a minug to be mamshech the avelus for a year, for 12 months. But me'ikar hadin, the real avelus, is only 30 days. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, vayitmu yimei v'chi evel Moshe. There is no biblical source anywhere that avelus goes more than 30 days. What we do today for a parent, and we observe Yud Beis Chodesh, that's a minug. That's purely a minug. The real avelus ends after 30 days. And that's why for anyone other than a parent, there's no such avelus more than 30 days. Unfortunately, this person had Down syndrome. He didn't have children. And the avelus came to an end on Erev Shavuos. As long as someone is mourning for the person to a certain degree is still here in this world. You don't leave the world until the Avelus is over. That's what it says in the books, the big books that no one ever came back to explain how they work. But that's what it says. When we're mourning for a person in this world, they're still here in this world. Chazal also say that a person's primary birthday is not when he is born. If you want to make a birthday party, you should make a birthday party 8 days after your birthday. Because 8 days after your birthday is the day when you had a bris milah, assuming everything was on schedule. You had a bris milah, and when a person has a bris milah, he's nichnas into the bris, the covenant of Avraham Avinu. That's when he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So you're not really born until you have a bris milah. The Gedolei Yisrael that would celebrate birthday, not on their birthday. They celebrated the Yom HaMilah, the anniversary of the day they were nichnas to the bris Avraham Avinu 8 days later. So the person by the Shloshim said as follows: this fellow, He was a few weeks shy of 36 years old. He wasn't. He was exactly 36 years old. He was born on Chof Ches Iyar. His bris milah was on Shavuos. And the Shloshim, the last day of the Shloshim, was on Erev Shavuos. When we celebrate a bar mitzvah on Bo Bayom, that's not the birthday. That's 13 years and one day. The year comes to an end the day before. In fact, we learned that David HaMelech, when was he born? Many want to say that David HaMelech was born on the second day of Shavuos in Chutz Li'aretz, because since we have a tradition that David died on Shavuos, in order that it should be a perfect year, that means David was born the day after Shavuos, the second day, when the Chutz Li'aretz, on the second day of Shavuos. That means that his year was that was complete, that rounds off the year. So it turns out that this person, this was a nechama to the family. Don't make a mistake and think that no one knows anything, that he died, Corona came along and took him away prematurely. We have to have emuna that this person was here for a purpose. And his person was Down syndrome, it's a different type of purpose, a different type of person. And he was here exactly 36 years to the day. Hashem put him on this world to achieve a tafkid of exactly 36 years. His bris milah, his true entry into this world, took place on Matan Torah, and his departure took place 36 years later, Erev Matan Torah. A hashlama of exactly 36 years. And here's the clincher. L'kayma shenemar, halichos oilam loy. Loy is 36. The ways of the world, loy, are 36. This person, he walked, he traveled in this world. He achieved his tafkid, loy, in the 36 years, just like Chazal said that the world exists in the merit of 36 tzaddikim, a person's presence in this world, at least in this person, he was here, halichos olam, he walked this earth, this olam hazeh, loy, for 36 years to achieve his tafkid. That's how we have to look at it in hindsight, in order to find nechama and emuna and Hashem, that this person fulfilled his tafkid. So this pasuk, Rabbi Yisai, is a powerful pasuk. Halichos oilam lo, we have so many mamar chazal, al tikri halichos, ela halachos. Person learns halacha, oilam loy. He is guaranteed to have oilam haba. We learned halichos oilam lo is when we witness, when the world watches how HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our defense, and he obliterates our enemies, then the world recognizes that the halichos olam are loy to Hashem. We learned halichos olam loy refers to the lamed vav tzadikim upon which the world exists. Halichos olam lo refers to motion and resting. Vayehi bin soya ha'orain, the orain is in movement, connect together with the pasuk uvenucho yoimar. Lamed Vav, the last letter of the second pasuk, Yisrael, which concludes with a Lamed, and the first letter of the first pasuk, Va Yehi Bin Soya. Many different ideas come out in this principle of Halichos Olam. And what else we said? We said also. Halachos will never be bottle, even though all of the sefarim will become bottle. We learn another concept. Halacha refers to mishnayis. Halacha's mishnayis is oilam loy. It is something that will never ever be bottle. Torah shebal peh, which is captured in the Shicha Sidri Mishnah, is something which is oilam loy, will never become bottle. All right, that concludes pretty much what we want to discuss in this pasuk. Now we're going to begin this. We have a few minutes. We have 5 minutes. Let's begin pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, tachas oven. Okay, I'm reading the pasuk. I hope you have the pasuk in front of you. I'm assuming you do. I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'm assuming you have the pasuk. The pasuk now says, tachas oven re'isi oholei chushan. Yirgizun yiriyos. Eretz Milyon. Okay, this pasuk is a hard pasuk, and there are many different interpretations. Simply, it's referring to, we learn like the Mitzudais, our entry into Eretz Yisrael. As we have arrived in the land, the Ribbono Shel Olam drove out the Canaanim. L'kayim Ashremar, in the beginning of the first Rashi, or Mechol always brings up the Rashi, the first Rashi in Chumash Bereishis. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did he find the need to tell us about creation? Because the day will come when the Ummah Yisraelam will challenge Klal Yisrael and say to them, Listen, Atem, you're bandits, that you've conquered the entire world, you're robbers, you're occupiers. They've said this to us with so many, they like to translate the word listim. We learned in Yeshiva Kitana, listim means a highway robber, a bandit. Today, the modern world translates the word listim to mean occupiers. Okay, that's the way the world translates the word listim atem. You're occupiers. So, Michal, is that correct? Is that how the world translates the word listim?
Either way, it's taken by force.
Taken by force. Listim atem, a new translation. They have to upgrade the art scroll translation of the word listim atem. Occupiers. If they're going to say that, so the Torah here is speaking to the liberal Jews, the democratic Jews, the Jews from the Democratic Party, and say to them,
there's an oxymoron for you.
Torah says, it's my world. I created this world. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. I created the world. I gave it. It's a lease. The Canaanim have the land. It's a lease. It's not theirs. They only have it for a limited time. The lease is up. Get out. Someone else is moving in. You're not deserving of living in this land. You take magic markers and you write on the walls. You're not allowed to do this. Get out of the land. You have misbehaved. That's why it says in the Pasuk, it says that's the first Rashi. This Pasuk is over here coming to, is going back to that very first Rashi. Tachas Oven. Because in response to the horrible sins that the Canaanim have committed in the land, Habakkuk is saying, I have seen in my vision the tents of Chushan, and that means we'll see in the Mitzvahs, I have seen these tents been wiped out. They're going to be destroyed. We'll have to read the Mitzvahs for a moment. Yirgizun, they will tremble, recognizing that their days are numbered, that the Jews are coming into the land, are going to obliterate them. Yirios, we have now some poetic repetition. The curtains, Eretz Midyan. Let's immediately read the parish of the Mitzvahs to explain what this means. Tachas Oven in the Mitzvahs David. Bavur Ha'oven, because of the sins of the Canaanim, Re'isi Ahalei Chushan. Chushan, who's Chushan? So the Mitzvahs fills in, go back to Yoshua. Chushan Rish Osayim. Oimdim bi Artzais Yisrael Limshol Bohem. To rule over them. Ko'imer, what does this mean to say? Loi mi koitzer yod lo hoshia lamoi, ki im bigmul ha'oven hinicham biyadai. It's not because Hashem, they're weak. It's not because the Canaanim are weak. Loi mi koitzer yod lo hoshia lamoi. It's not because of his weakness that he did not save them. Ki im bigmul ha'oven. Oven hinicham biyadoi, Hashem delivered Chushan Rishosayim in the hands of the Jewish people. Let's read one more word. Yirgizun yirios eretz midyan, ritzayna loymar, ki haloi bikaram elav. When the Jewish people called out to them, yirgizun, they trembled, yirios, the tents, the curtains, eretz midyan, Vizehu bime gidoin, shababe nehem, charada, terror, vahargu ze eze kemoy shenemar bishoiftim. Two different events. One event was, I've seen the tents of Chushan destroyed. You have to add words into the pasuk. Chushan Rishasayim was was one of the Canaanite nations, and Chushan Rishosayim was obliterated because of their sins, the sins of Chushan Rishosayim. They were evil people, and Osniel ben Kenaz. Okay, this is one of the early Mulchamos of the time of Yehoshua. Osniel ben Kenaz obliterated the army of Chushan Rishosayim. Al Derech HaTeva, the Metzudas Tavad is teaching us, Chushan Rishosayim should have won the battle. Chushan Rishosayim had more soldiers who were better trained, had better weapons, had more power. Al Derech HaTeva, Chushan Rishosayim should have prevailed and conquered the Jewish army. But because of the Oven, the sins of the people of Canaan, of this nation and this army, I have seen Hashem grant Osniel ben Kenaz supernatural power, lemala mederech hateva, and give him the ability to overcome them and obliterate them. Likewise, fast forward another generation, the time of Gideon, he wiped out Midian. The Midianim that were living in the land, they came into the land, and Yirgizun, Yiriyos, the curtains, Eretz, Midian, they also were obliterated to the koyach of Klal Yisrael, because Hashem gave them the power to overcome the enemies in the land, because they were no longer deserving. The time has come for Hashem to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. All right, we're going to stop over here. We'll continue this tomorrow, go into much greater detail tomorrow with other Mefarshim to explain exactly the story of Chushan Rishosayim and the story of Gideon. Maybe go back to Sefer Yeshua and dig up and bring back the whole story in more detail to appreciate the Psukim. We'll take a short break. After the break is over, we're going to do a little bit. I want to finish up a few more halachos of Birchas Kohanim, discuss a few more things. And then I want to talk about another topic. I want to talk about that being that this week is Parashas Nasai, after Matan Torah, we start all over again. I want to talk about an introductions to Sifrei Kodesh. You'll see what I mean. I have a very interesting sefer, and that will be the third part. But right now, let's take a short break, and let's then finish up a few more halachas that relate to Birchas Kohanim. I'll see you back in 2 minutes.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Mayor, I'd like to...